Today is October 24th. Speaker is Tony McCurry. And this is going to be study number 35 on Fruit of the Light. But I'm actually, you know how I kept wanting to go from Fruit of the Spirit to Fruit of the Light? Well, I'm going to do something a little different tonight and say, for the fruit of the spiritual life. And I'll explain that here in just a second. But to me, it just seemed really insightful that you can use that, and that the spiritual light that is within each and every one of us is Christ, the Holy Spirit. So that being said, tonight's study topic is basically forgiveness. I haven't, to my knowledge, done that. I haven't gone back and listened to all of them yet. But because I started this back in May of 2017, and this has been a fairly decent series as far as time frame goes, but it still don't touch the measure of Cecil or Ronnie or one of the other guys that seem to get into the hundreds of studies, because this one, well, I guess it could go that far, but I don't know that I'll live that long. but we'll start off in Ephesians 5, 1 to 10, like I always do, because this is the topic, that the fruit of the spiritual light that we have within us and that we display to those around us. And I've said over and over again that this study is a practical study, and I use it in that way, and I use the research and scripture in a practical sense, but I still add to the right division aspect, as I should and as every speaker should. But in Ephesians 5, 1 to 10, oh, yeah, Chico, do you mind posting? I'm sorry. I should have done ask you. I don't know if you got your computer. Well, your computer's got to be cranked up because you're on here, right? So if you don't mind, if you could post. Ephesians 5, 1 to 10 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So this is the innocence of children that we're to walk as. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be done once named, not let it be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." In 5:9, "For the fruit of the spiritual light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Now that spiritual, it's like a current of air, pneuma, a breath, a breeze, or if you look at the whole description of it, it's spirit, ghost, life, spirit, or spiritually minded. And then you can go into the spiritual, the word spiritual, the English word spiritual, and the Greek form below it would be pneumatikos, which adds the latter of the form. It's supernatural, regenerate, religious, and spiritual. But in the Pneuma, it also, in the word, in the description, in the Greek words, or the English words that go to the Greek, it does have in there spirit, or spiritual, or spiritually minded, because that is our walk, is to be spiritually minded with Christ, as the walk that he would have us to walk, or the Apostle Paul would have us to walk in his teachings. Fruit is an outworking, such as the expression of a tree, or the finished work of the tree. And then you have the root, which is Christ. Because in Romans 11:16, it says, "For the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if not be holy, so are the branches." So when you look at Ephesians 5:9 in the New American Standard, it says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And then in the New Literal Translation, it says, "For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true." So the fruit studies I've been given are practical in scope in presenting my own personal experiences and testimony as to why I chose the studies that I've done in tonight's studies on forgiveness, as it is without a doubt one of Christ's attributes, Paul's attributes, and that he done for me and all mankind in forgiving mankind for their sins on the cross by his shed blood. Paul's last statement in Acts, or not last statement, but it's the last statement Paul states in Acts as to talking to Christ on the Damascus Road. In Acts 26:15 through 18, he says that, and when he was talking, when he was answering the Lord, he says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he, Christ, said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both to of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear thee." So he's not done with Paul. He says right here, I've still got things to appear to you. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." Now this is the Gentiles who now I send to thee. Gentiles, he just said that. "To and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn from them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." It's Christ. The Christ-like character we see in Romans 8:27-29, "And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints." Now this is God, or the Spirit. "Intercession for the saints, the will of God, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did destinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So those of us that understand the term firstborn and the meaning of that, it has to do with resurrection after death. In today's traditional teaching, wrongly divided, they profess to be born again when they accept Christ as their Savior. But in rightly dividing God's word, those that appear in Colossians 3 and 4 will be born again. Because instead of going with the John 3:3, where Nicodemus expects to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's a totally different rendition, because there's only been one been born again, and that's our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, because he has risen with the Father. And that conformed there, conformed to the image of his Son, that's somorphos, and it's to be conformed or fashioned like unto, and then the image, the icon, that's the Greek form 1504 is icon, so that's definitely an English term that everybody can understand as far as icon, because we see icons all over the place. And it's the image or resemblance of his Son. And then we have the firstborn, which is prototokos. I think that's it. Forgive me, Mike, if I didn't get it right. And it's the firstborn, usually as a noun, literally or figuratively, first begotten. So it's the first begotten from above. So when we see, those of us that rightly divide see firstborn, we know that those are going to be the first raised from the dead. So when it says in Romans there that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, well, that's at resurrection. That's not being born again that traditional teachers go with, or traditional teaching goes with. So let's go to Colossians 2, 12 through 14, and look at being quickened and forgiven. And that'll be in 13. So we are buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now that quickened is the Greek form suzoolio. That's almost a Hawaiian, ain't it? And it is 4806. It's to reanimate conjointly with or quicken together with. And the second Greek form that adds that is Greek 2227. That is zupoioio. It is to make alive or give life. That is the Greek form 2227, which is the second Greek form added to the 4806. That gives the punch to making alive, the quickening. In Colossians 3, 12 through 17, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels and mercies. And this is the fruit or the spirit that we have indwelling in us. The spiritualness that we have, the spiritual light that we display, is here in Colossians. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In this passage, personally, I use this myself in my lifestyle or my way of life. As you all know, well, maybe not all of you, but some of you know, when my dad passed, I was the administrator of the estate. And the year that followed that, year and a half, 2 years that followed that, there can only be imagined the things that were said about me, to me, behind my back, and everything, that even from my own brother. So things were said that at the time I just disowned my own brother. And I let it go. I mean, it's no problem to me for the things that I was blamed of doing. I had no problem releasing him as being a true brother. So because of the things that was said, I have no problems ever speaking to him again. But the more I pray and the more the Lord lays on me to forgive him for the things, even though he hasn't even asked me for forgiveness, I have forgiven him. And when I do that, I feel so much better about it. Because by not forgiving somebody, then you have hatred. And if you have hatred in your heart, how can you profess to have Christ in your heart? Because Christ is not hate. So why hold yourself to those boundaries? You know, there's no sense in it. So once I did let go and forgive him, whether he asked for it or not, I didn't even tell him. He don't even know it, which he probably don't care. But that's beside the point. That's between me and my Father. I've done forgiven him, and I feel so much better in doing so. In Romans 4:1-8, says, what was we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified of works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Just like we believe God. We believe God's word. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessings of the man to whom God imputed righteousness without works. Even David said that, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is David that said this. And he said it in Psalms 32:1. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. See, David, did he know this? that Christ was going to be doing this? Or did he have a feeling that his blessings from God that he didn't deserve? So we can go to Romans on 6 to 8 of Romans 4, 6 to 8. It says, even David also described the blessings of the man who God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Because during his time it was all about works. It's all on belief through faith. In Colossians 1, 10 to 14, Paul says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. See, we get our strength from God. Being the spiritual light that we have, we get our strength from the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood. And the last verse. Oh yeah, this is. I noticed this today, but it's Ephesians 1, 4-7. And when I got to 7, I kind of looked at it and said, "Wait a minute, it's just something's a little different here," and it'll stand out. But I just had a thought, and I'll share that with you in a second. But Ephesians 1, 4-7 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And in 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, here's the added, according to the riches of his grace. And you post Colossians 1:14, right beside of it, and you say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, which is the exact same thing, except Ephesians 1:7 says, according to the riches of his grace. That makes you wonder, I'm not saying it's that or anything else, but that's added to, and Paul usually adds to his books when he does them. But it just seemed like maybe Ephesians was written after Colossians. I doubt it, but because nobody has taught that, but I'm not going to say that one verse will declare that. It just seems that Paul added the according to the riches of his grace in Ephesians, whereas Colossians didn't have it. It's just kind of neat that that was there. But that's my study on forgiveness, and I pray that you all got a little something out of it. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day, Lord, for that forgiveness that you have given us and for the forgiveness of mankind. All they have to do is to believe on you. For it's in all these things we ask, Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.